It's Jessica Thompson, Sheikha Baker, and Lori Kennedy here with you, ready to share our conversation on love. We decided to focus on this for February, because February is the month of love, even though we are all three collaborating to keep each other accountable on focusing on that our entire year. It's on our vision board. But Lori's going to kick us off. So go ahead, Lori. Super excited. Can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Hey everyone. So my name is Lori Kennedy. If you don't know that, I have collaborated with these two ladies for just a little bit, but since we only have a little bit of time and I want to make sure that we all have the chance to talk, we were going to talk about self-love today. And we're not talking about self-love that you think about self-love. We're talking about like self-love that allows you to get up and go every day. And just want to preface this by saying that I'm not a counselor and I am not, you know, I don't have a background in this or anything, but in the last, I don't know, 8-9 months now, I have done a lot of coaching and mindset work on bettering myself. And it all starts around loving yourself first. So I want to start by giving you just a smidge about me. My name is Lori, like I said, and I've been married twice and divorced twice. Let's see if I can enunciate correctly. And my previous relationship that I was in was very unhealthy. I was in a relationship with a narcissistic man that mentally and emotionally abused me. And it's a lot to come out of in that respect. So when I talk about self-love, I talk about, you know, how I got through every day, not knowing if I was walking on eggshells, if I was going to get yelled at, if I was going to be called a piece of shit, you know, the whole nine yards. So, after I got out of my last relationship, I knew for a fact what I was and wasn't, like what I did and what I didn't want, like 100%. But I didn't know how to get there. Like I knew I didn't want to be in a relationship with somebody that was going to, you know, constantly blame me for things. I didn't want to be around somebody that I felt like I was doing everything for and they weren't appreciative. But the very first thing that I learned in all of this was creating boundaries for myself. I didn't know that that was a thing, that creating boundaries and setting boundaries was a form of self-love. Because when you set your boundaries, you essentially establish non-negotiables.
Say that again, like just so that nugget, like we like to write it down. Say it one more time, because I think that is so powerful. The form of self-love is with protection and boundaries, right?
Something yes. Like so when we talk about self-love, we talk about, you know, doing things for yourself and self-care and things like that. But a big form of self-love is knowing your boundaries and what your non-negotiables are and establishing those non-negotiables going forward. You know what you don't want. So the people around you need to know that that is going to be a no, or I am not budging on that. So that is a form of self-love. Because you create a safe space with yourself when you create boundaries, and you need to be able to have those boundaries so that you can still be authentic in who you are.
At what point do you think that you figured out that you needed boundaries? Because I feel like in the last year, it's been so prevalent.
Like I knew that I needed boundaries after I got divorced and I started dating it, if you will. Like I would notice things and I'm like, like there was things that would come up and I'm like, nope, that's bad. Oh, nope. And then when I finally was like, you know, this is what I want. I established that I didn't want to be this. I didn't want to have this. And I was like, I didn't know what they were. But in the last, I would say, what is it? February, March. So in the last 9 months or so, I have learned to put words around the yes and no's that I've wanted. And I've learned that those are boundaries that I've created for myself. So as I slowly entered back into the dating world or the relationship world, I realized what I didn't and want and what I was willing to negotiate on. And so that became a turning point in myself knowing what I didn't want. Because I used to just be like, okay, everything's fine. And I'll just deal with the repercussions of it later. Like I didn't establish like no, this isn't going to fly with me. Because if you don't establish it up front, it's harder to fix on the back end. So I would say that probably about a year after my divorce is when I was like, oh, you know, boundaries are like a must have thing. And then in my current relationship, that was something that I established very, very early on, that I didn't, you know, what I wanted, what I didn't want. And we talked about those things. And that way it was an open conversation on, you know, what I will and will not do and what I'm willing to do and what I'm not willing, like, and what I'm willing to budge on. And being able to establish that allowed me to be very open in my relationship and allowed me to really express what I needed to express when I needed to express it without knowing that I was like, oh, well, now I got to walk on eggshells around this because it's something that we've established, but we haven't talked about. So being able to talk about my boundaries and being able to have that conversation right out of the gate has been, I mean,
I feel like that's a game changer in your, like, your biggest current relationship.
Things in my life. Yeah. And so yeah. That I think was probably my big turning point and knowing that I needed to have self-love for myself so that I could be a better person for the people around me, not just in my intimate relationship, but in my friendships, in my family dynamic, the whole nine yards. Boundaries that I create for myself, protect myself. And that is a form of self-love.
I love 100%. That. And if you were to pass the baton to Sheikah, now what's your spiel on self-love? If you had about 6 minutes to have a conversation about it, what would you, it's your time, girl. Let's go. Following. That was amazing, Lori. I'm like, this is so special. I'm sitting here listening to things that we've spent years and years and years trying to figure out for ourselves. And the way that we're all aligned in this and then sharing for other people, I think it can be so impactful to the right person. So that's who we're trying to speak to, right? And so I'm listening to Lori's, like, I feel so empowered because, well, I mean, obviously we're soul sisters anyways, but like, it's so relatable. You don't know what you don't know. And then you even have to unlearn some behavior. So I love that.
Unlearning the behavior too is one of the biggest challenges too, because you have learned this and you have kept this same behavior for, I mean, as long as you kind of really know. So going, oh, that's not healthy for me, and trying to unlearn that behavior and be actively like advocating for yourself in justification, because the people that are around you don't necessarily understand. They're gonna be like, wow, like, when did all of a sudden you become like this me or meh, or, you know, whatever. I'm just gonna try not to cuss, so but it's very, very difficult, but when all the people around you expect this out of you, for you to stand your ground and be like, no, this is me, and this is how I am moving forward, and this is a yes or a no for you, so you can either accept it or you can't. And you may come up on a time when the person beside you is, you know, has a non-negotiable as well, but you have something that you're like, you know, I can bend a little in that area, just because it's a give and take. Think of your non-negotiables as your tree trunk. It is what creates your roots. It's your authenticity. It is your tree trunk. It is there. It's not moving. Now you can have other things that bend and sway and move that are still branches of who you are, and that's fine. But knowing your non-negotiables, your core, your trunk of your tree is super important to just the start of self-love.
I think that's so true. And I just asked about what would be mine. And I think a form of self-love for me is learning to say no. Because said yes to so many things for so long to please others around me and to make other people very comfortable. And I would be, you know, there's situations where I would say yes to someone where it would put me out and make me really uncomfortable or make me late for something because I wanted to make somebody else comfortable. I'm in this point in my life right now where I'm like, yeah, no, I can't do that because, and you don't even need a because. I don't need to tell you because anything.
Just saying, it's a whole sentence.
No, it's a complete sentence with a period.
And period. Yes, 100%.
You know, because I'm sacrificing something by me saying yes. Mm. And I think I learned that in September. Just to say no. And I think that's helped me be able to show up more authentic and more the person that I was born to be and not afraid. Because I used to be so afraid to say no. And to ask another one which is super hard for me, is to ask for help. Because I feel like I am that person that can do everything, but I'm nothing to anyone if I just don't start to delegate things out and just really focus on the things that I'm good at.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
That is so powerful.
So in September, because I feel like, I feel like these are newer concepts for us. We've been told these things our whole lives, but never in a way that resonated so much as us being in a space together now where it's like, wow,
It was a rumor.
It is a rumor until it lives in your cells.
That's right. Knowledge is a rumor until it lives in yourself.
We need to tell the people this.
Wait, okay. Go ahead.
You need to say it because I'm looking for my post-it.
Okay. So one of the nuggets, we're all three in this training for transformational trainer program, how to facilitate transformations, and we are transforming ourselves. And we had so many nuggets dropped, and this one is
nuggets, you guys. These are like, like shots fired, holy crap, like
stop in your tracks.
Yeah, like dope. That one cuts deep, like holy banana. Oh my god. Okay, they're not just nuggets.
So the line is, knowledge is only a rumor until it lives in your cells. So essentially it's saying it's just fluff in your head until you put it into action and into your lifestyle. And I think that's so powerful. Know better, do better is what I have said years and years and years. But that's so like, know better, do better. No, but you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like I'm immune to it now. I mean, it's essentially the same thing. If you know it, do it. And so knowledge is a rumor, and so it lives in your cells. And so and moving forward, so for me, self-love, and you guys, you know what I want to say right now, but I'm not going to throw it out there to the public, but I am very excited. So the biggest thing for me, because I feel in 2024, I've really been intentional with focusing on what I consider self-love and loving myself when I'm alone in the dark, talking to myself kindly. And we have all been in conversation about investing in ourselves. This is a huge commitment and investment that we've done with this program. And so for me, and you know, once you start talking about it and putting it out there and being grateful for it, like, this is what I'm doing, it just falls, right? The opportunities, the doors open up, you're looking for it, you're listening, you're like, okay, God, woo! Lessons are being taught, I'm paying attention, teach me. And so for me, self-love in 2024 is looking at myself as the worthy investment. The worthy investment to focus on my mental health, to focus on my spiritual health, to expand my knowledge, expand my capacity for all the things, but especially to transform and then help others to transform. And so I think it's really important to highlight how you view yourself and how you look at yourself is what you will invest in yourself. And by saying that we are unlearning things or we didn't know to put boundaries up, it doesn't mean that anybody failed us or that we're complaining about how we grew up or what happened. It's just literally.
Or that you are wrong.
Right. It's or just that, when.
Yes.
When you know better, focus on you doing do better. When you have the knowledge, use it. Don't let it live rent-free in your brain. And so to understand that when you invest and hustle, if people don't like that word, it makes them feel some sort of a way. If you stay focused and consistent, the things that will just show up because you don't give up are amazing. And I think that's a form of self-love because we're so focused or have been so trained. At least us three, I know I can speak for in being people pleasers and bending over backwards to avoid the rejection and the discomfort that comes from upsetting others. Whether that is growing up in a toxic, explosive environment when you're younger, not saying your household, maybe it was a school, maybe it was a sport, maybe it was the bus, like whatever the environment was that led you to feel this way. I think that looking at yourself as the worthy investment and understanding that this is for the next 40, 50, 60 years. I mean, what's Grant Cardone and Ed Milet and I don't know who Elon, and what do they look at for return on investment? And what have they poured into themselves? Like, think about the thousands and thousands of dollars that they have poured into themselves to get the knowledge and the expertise to make the decisions that they do on the regular. Our mentor, Lisa Nichols, we're getting 26 years of her, and that's only her. What about Sean? What about Michelle? What about all the people that are in your life that have the experience? So, you know, you look at like, okay, if I do 3 months of this or I do little bite-sized pieces. But if you look at the long-term investment and what you are doing when you show yourself your worthy investment, you're showing your children, you're showing your siblings, you're showing your parents, you're showing yourself that you see yourself as worthy to invest into. And so for me, it's been so impactful to actually realize that, and that investing on yourself doesn't mean that you're going to turn around and instantly see dollar signs. Like, so much of us tie our productivity and our worth.
Say it again.
Into the dollar.
I receive that.
Yes.
Well, it's like, okay. And I know that you guys will relate to this as well. You know, being, in any sort of unhealthy state, I was morbidly obese for many years, and I have worked like hell to change that. I still battle the fat girl. Okay. She's not gone. She's just been reformed, and we've changed our behavior. We've transformed. Okay. And so in chasing the number on the scale, it often people also chase the number in the bank account to feel worthy. Your number on the scale shows up and you're like, oh, 165. No, Barbie weighed 119. Barbie weighed, you know what I mean? Whatever it is in your head, whatever you want to look like. Or
Barbie
whatever.
Ain't real, girls. Barbie ain't real.
Ooh. But in relation to, you know, seeing the investment return, and if it is dollars that you're seeking, know that they will come, that you can see it in other ways. The way that I've seen it already and how I speak to my children. The turning point since May, when we started together on this journey with Lisa Nichols and ourselves, May. So not even a year, right? Like 6 months, half a year, whatever. And being in these courses, but not the extensive intense that we're in right now with CTDP, the conversations that we have, the understanding that we have, the shift in them I see from using our techniques to work through problems, the confidence, the emotional intelligence, and that's just in my little household. They're going to go to school. They're going to sit on the bus. They're going to have a conversation with the teacher. We're going to interact with family members. I mean, they're not even out. And then my husband, the relationship that I have with my husband has deepened. And I know that we've done, you know, in our, oh, we have a Facebook group. This is a great time to put it that in here because we only have 5 minutes left. We're staying on task for Sheikah and ourselves. For being mindful. So thanks for going along with us as being the first one, but we have a Facebook group called the 1%, and it is THE ONE PERCENT. And the focus is on doing 1% better each day to get to the best version of yourself, not focusing on an all or nothing mentality where you have to do everything in a day or you're only wanting the outcome goal. This is little bite-sized nuggets where we just do what we can each day to become 1% better and help create a community of others to keep us accountable and do the same thing. Whoo, that just rode. I'm getting better. So the 1%, like us here collaborating on this new, you know, form, we're just what Lori said. We're not experts. We don't have all the certifications. We have all gone through tremendous amounts of therapy, self-healing work. We're willing to share and be vulnerable. And that's what we're doing here. And we're trying to create a community of that. So when we get on here and we're speaking and we're sharing our hearts, know that if we're hitting anything or anything resonates, like, please continue the interaction and the connection. Look for us so that we can, help the world one kind quote a day or one, whatever, like just 1%.
What I will say, we've only got 3 minutes left, is the 1% is for us to try and help you ease whatever it is that maybe you've gone through that, or that you're going through that we've already gone through. If we can try to help you through a situation that we've already been through, or if we can just be a sounding board and be a safe space for you when you need it, that is what we are here for. We want to help you in any way we can. And if that is the only thing that you need is for, you know, a place to go just to, you know, say, hey, I need to talk, that is also what the 1% is for. We are here ultimately for you because we want to take whatever we have gone through and give it clarity so that you guys might be able to get through a situation easier.
Well, and so many, we've been through so many situations that, like, we wish that we had this group.
This.
Oh.
You know, like, we wish that we could have talked through some things. There was a point that you said, and it brought me to think about the book that we're reading right now, The 1% by Ed Milet. And is it called The Acticular Something, where you focus on, so say there's like a blue GMC truck that you want. Yes. And all of a sudden you start to see them like all over the place. Mm. So if you're be mindful of what you're focusing on. Because if it's all negative, that's all you're going to start to see.
Yes.
If it's come to the 1% and there's daily quotes every single day, if that's, and that's how you start your morning every day, or if it's writing in your gratitude journal, or just getting out of bed in the morning and being thankful for getting out of bed, because that's hard for some of us.
Mm.
We're here for you. And we're so, I feel so blessed. There are days that I like literally get down on my knees and I pray that I'm so thankful that I didn't just go virtual in June, or that I said yes to the program in May, because my life has completely changed.
100%. Right there with you. And I know that we only have just a minute left here, but I wanted to say that you don't have to go to expensive programs. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would tell everybody, you have the opportunity, invest in a retreat. The 1% will be having a retreat in 2025. Details in the future coming. We are so excited for it. But go to a retreat. Get around like-minded people, because those people become your tribe and they will be there through thick and thin, even if you didn't realize you needed those people. And that is also what the 1% is about, is finding your like-minded people just to help you. Because there are days, you guys, I get up and I open the 1%. I'm the one that posts the daily quotes. Sheikah's the one that puts them together. Jessica's the one that brings them to us. We do this together. But there are days that I get up, I post that, but I need to know what it says over and over and over again. Because there's days that I'm like, what in the Lord's name am I, cuss word inserted, doing? You know, there are days that I cannot, like, there are days. So just know that you're not alone when your days are rough, but even a rough day, you can still do 1% better. 1% better could be getting up and brushing your teeth by 8 a.m. instead of 1 in the afternoon, you guys. These can be little things. They do not have to be big things. 1% is 1%. 1% is 1%. So that is, I'll shut up now.
No.
No, that's perfect.
I love you guys so much. I'm so thankful that we're doing this. I think that there were some really good nuggets in here, and I hope you guys follow along on our journey, because it's going to be fun.
We love you guys. And I hope that you guys find value in what we put out there for you.
Me too. Thank you so much for tuning in. Find us on Facebook and listen for the next one.